is called repent. Not often do you hear sermons about repent, so I thought that this is very appropriate because God has commanded it. Let's look at Acts 17, verses 22, beginning with the 22nd verse. Then Paul stood in the midst of Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you, God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's devising. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained, and has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and some others said, we will hear you again on this matter." Three parts to this lesson, and the times of this ignorance God winked at. Part two, repentance is commanded. Part three, judgment day is coming. Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill, the Areopagus, the literal capital of the ancient world, the most popular or cultural city on earth, to which every Roman who sought a finished education resort to complete his studies, the home of the philosophers, orators, sculptors, painters, and poets, and the great university where many thousands of strangers were gathered for study. This ancient city of so glorious history is the modern capital of Greece and has about 100,000 inhabitants. "Ye men of Athens," he does not say, "in all things ye are too superstitious, or ye are more religious than others." His remark is a compliment, and he confirms it by a statement that he has found an altar to the unknown God. Besides thousands of altars and statues of deities whom they named, this altar was dedicated to the unknown, as if to some deity whose presence they felt, but whom they did not comprehend. "This unknown," he announces, "I declare unto you." Ancient writers speak of altars of Athens to the unknown God or gods. Such an introduction was well calculated to fix the attention of his critical audience. God that made the world, he now declares that the attributes of that unknown God, which are nine of them, he says this: the God that made the world, what did God do? He made the world. Lord of heaven and earth, number two. Number three, he dwelleth not in what? Temples. And not also worshipped by who? Men's hands. Giveth life to all that what? Lives. Made of one blood all what? Nations. Appointed that men should seek the Lord. And we are his what? Offsprings. Hence, the Godhead is not like any idol made by human hands. It dishonors so glorious a being to liken him to man's device. Then comes the application. The times of this ignorance. The times when there was no revelation into those dark things. God did what? Winked at. To wink at means to overlook. And so what does he say? That repentance is commanded. The times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now does what? Commanded that what? The gospel is the world embracing to all men everywhere are commanded to do repentance. This call to repentance is urged because God has appointed a day, the day of coming judgment, when the world will be judged through Christ. Of this, the resurrection of Christ is assurance. And finally, judgment day is coming. Appointed time, Acts 17 and 26. Athens has had her day. She was once the mistress of the seas. The same fact is true of every nation. And then he says later on, certain of your poets, Erastus, who wrote about 200 years before, also Cleanthes in his hymn to Jupiter. In Acts 17 and 31, he says this, that he's raised him from the dead. If Jesus was raised, all men will be raised. Hence the assurance of a general judgment after death. Now, here's the surprise. That's the lesson. Now it's time to feed. It's feeding time. Get your Bibles. Acts 17, verse 30 and 31. We're going to go through some scriptures. It's feeding time. And the times of this ignorance God winked at. But now command all men everywhere to do what? To repent. Because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he has given assurance unto all men, and that he has raised him from the dead. You know, we live in this society today where men are worshiping different things that are not God. They worship themselves. They worship money. And the time of this ignorance needs to come to an end. We need to repent. Our focus should be upon Christ. That's the object of our worship. Our object of worship should focus on Christ and the cross. Let's go on to 1 Corinthians 9 and 27. 1 Corinthians 9 and 27. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. This is another reason that we need to keep repentance as a lesson in our heart, because Paul says, I can preach to everyone else, but what will happen to me? I could be lost. And so it's for the pulpit to the back pew, from the front seat to the back seat, this lesson on repentance. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13 and 14. Turn there. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear what? The conclusion of the whole matter. Do what? Fear God and keep his commandment. For this is the what? Whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into the judgment with every secret thing, whether it be what? Good or whether it be evil. And so here we come to another point about repentance. There may be things that you are doing that we don't know anything about, but God knows about it. And in the day of judgment, he's going to bring everything out. Isn't that right? Every secret thing will be brought out, whether it is what? Good or whether it is evil. Let's go to Ezekiel. Ezekiel, the third chapter, verse 18 and 21. Ezekiel, the third chapter, verse 18 and 21. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speak it to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life. The same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thy hand. But yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity. But thou hast delivered thy soul. Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and committed iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, and he shall die. Because thou hast not given him warning, he shall die in his sin. And his righteousness, which he has done, shall not be remembered. But his blood will I require at thy hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man, that righteous sin not, and he does not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned. Also thou hast delivered thy soul. This is another reason for this lesson on repentance. It is the job of the shepherds, the job of the preacher, the job of the teachers to warn the people to repent. What happens when they don't do their job? Then the blood will be on their hands. Isn't that right? And so he says that you have a wicked person who you did not warn. If he dies in his sins and you have not preached to him to turn from his ways, that blood is on your hands. If you preach to him and he turns from his ways, and then you have saved that person. But if you preach to him and he continues to do wrong, the blood is not on your hands. It is on his own head. Again, you can have a righteous person who knows what right is and is supposed to be doing right, but he, for some reason, starts doing wrong. That person needs to do what? Repent. But he has to be warned. If you do not tell him to repent and he dies in his sin, that blood is on your hands. But if you tell that person to do what is right, turn away from his wickedness and turn back to God, that person has saved themselves and you have saved yourself as well. And so what I'm trying to say to you is simply this, that this lesson is to warn all of us that whether we are doing right and we fall away, or whether we're doing wrong and we need to return to God, we need to repent. Let's go to Ezekiel, the 34th chapter, verse 5 through 6. Ezekiel 34, verse 5 through 6. And they were scattered because there is no shepherd, and they became meat to all the beasts of the field. When they were scattered, my sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. And so we had a lesson this morning upon the good shepherd. The good shepherd goes out and looks after those sheep. Isn't that right? The job of the shepherd is to feed, keep, and protect. And so we have here in Ezekiel, the 34th chapter, some bad shepherds who were not doing their job. And they were not helping those who needed to be helped. And in this case, we're talking about teaching them to turn from their wicked ways and return to God. Let's go to Ephesians, the 3rd chapter, verse 19 and 18. Ephesians 3, verse 19 and 18. For many walk, of whom I have told you oft, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is their shame, whose mind earthly things. And so we see here in this book where he's talking about those that are enemies of what? Enemies of the cross of Christ. These people need to repent. These are people who are worshiping the wrong God. Isn't that right? Whose God are they worshiping? The God of their what? Belly and their glory. They're worshiping the glory, which is their shame, whose mind, earthly things. These are enemies of the cross. They need to repent. Let's go to 1 Timothy, the 3rd chapter and verse 15. 1 Timothy, the 3rd chapter and verse 15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself, where? In the house of God, which is what? The church of the living God, the what? The pillar and ground of truth. Let me pause there when, on this lesson of repentance. When we come together into the assembly of God, we're coming into the assembly of God. We are the house of God. That we need to know how to do what? Behave ourselves. Isn't that right? Conduct ourselves. Do you not know this house belongs to God? It is not ours. We're not in a bar room somewhere. We need to understand that we need to respect God. Isn't that right? And we need to repent of that behavior. The Bible tells us, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to do what? Behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. Let's go to Ephesians, the 5th chapter, verse 11 and 13. We need some more repentance. And so, and have no fellowship with what? The unfruitful works of darkness. But rather do what with them? Reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them where? In secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. And so here we find in the book of Ephesians, he's telling us that those things that are done in darkness, we are not even to do what? Talk about them. But we can do that in the context if it is manifested with light. That is to say, this is wrong and you need to repent. Isn't that right? And so, and while I'm there, I'm going to slow down on this because there's something I want to address to the flock. It is an unfortunate situation, but we need to look at how we behave in our communication with one another. Not only that, but conducting our lives and living our lives in a godly manner. It is unfortunate that because of ungodly behavior, we have such things as communicative disease that are spreading. We need to stop that by living a godly life. Isn't that right? Now, I've said something that maybe someone is doing in secret, but I have manifested that with light. And that is that you are to do what? Repent of your sins. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, verses 9 through 11. Know ye not, 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 11. And this is the reason why you need to do that. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 11. Know ye not that the ungodly shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither what? Fornicators, nor what? Idolaters, nor what? Adulterers, nor what? Effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with what? Mankind, nor what? Thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. But such was some of you, but you are what? Washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 10 and 11. We need to repent. We need to repent on some of the teaching that's going on. We got damnable teaching that's going on that's tearing up families and destroying families. Not only is a community of disease destroying families because of people being unfaithful to one another, but we have something else. We have people trying to put people apart. 1 Corinthians, I'm going to just go to verse 10 and 11. And unto the married, I what? Command. Now think about that. The Bible teaches us through command, through example, and through necessary inference. Isn't that right? A command is a precept from God. And a command indicates law. Law indicates order. Order that we're talking about is the kingdom. And the kingdom means there is a king. And so this all comes from the Lord. How do you know that, Brother Jackson? Because let's look back at that verse again. He said, unto the married I command, yet not I, but who? The Lord. Let not the wife do what? Depart from her husband. Didn't the Bible say that? Let not the wife depart from her husband. Now, that's a command, and that's from the Lord. And so the Bible says, let not the wife depart from her husband. Let's start next verse. But, and if she departs, so he left the door open. If she leaves, that means you're not supposed to leave. But the door is open. If you leave, what does the Bible say? But if she depart, let her remain what? Unmarried. That means you are not to do what? You're not to have any other type of relationship. You're not to get married again. He said, let her remain unmarried or be what? Reconciled to what? Her husband. Now, this is what the Bible teaches. Now, how are you going to twist that and make it into anything else? First of all, it's a command, not only from Paul. It's a command, he said, not from me, but from the Lord. And so, as we get down to the last part of the verse, he said, and let not the husband do what? Put away his wife. And so that is the same thing of reversing the whole thing. If he leaves, he's to stay single, and he is not to get a divorce. And so what does divorce, the word divorce appears here in that, because it says, let not the husband put away his wife. What does it mean to put away? What does it mean? To get a what? To get a divorce. The Bible is condemning divorce. He says, do not put away. Now, how are you going to close your eyes to that? And so this is something we need to repent of. That doesn't mean the person can't leave, but what the Bible says is that you are not to divorce. How many choices did Adam have? He only had one. And what did Eve do? She got the world in the condition that is in now because she disobeyed God, didn't she? And passed that fruit on to her husband. But did he have another choice? No, he didn't. So what I'm trying to say, if you make your bed, you're going to have to sleep on it. Let's go to Matthew 19 and 6. Therefore, Therefore, wherefore, they are no more what? Twain, but how many? One flesh. What therefore God has done, what? Joined together, let not man do what? Put asunder. You know, that's a warning. You put that asunder, you're going to have a day of judgment to give an account of and tell them why that happened. And so let's go to Titus 2, verses 10 to 13. Lesson is not on marriage. The lesson is on repentance. Titus 2, verse 10 to 13. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to how many men? All men, teaching us that denying what? Ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's go to Luke 24, verse 46 and 47. That's Luke 24, verse 46 and 47. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, that what be preached? Repentance and the remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning where? At Jerusalem. Repentance needs to be preached. It needs to be preached today to those of us who need to turn from our ways and turn back to God. Acts 2, verse 36 through 38. Acts 2, verse 36, 38. Wherefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we, what? What shall we do? And Peter said unto them, do what? And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Let's go to 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. And this, we're coming swiftly to a close on this lesson, because God is very patient with us. As it was mentioned in our Sunday school lesson this morning, God is patient, and you don't see that patience until maybe you have a time to live long enough and reflect upon God's word, then you begin to see all the blessings that God has given you. But I want to look at 2 Peter 3 and 9 and want you to know something else. That the Lord is not what? Concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to what? Repentance. Acts, let's go to Ecclesiastes, the 8th chapter, verse 11 and 12, as we close this out. Because I don't want your hearts to get sealed up. If you know that you haven't repented from your sins, you need to do that. And don't let your heart become hardened. Let me show you what the preacher says in Ecclesiastes, the 8th chapter, verse 11 and 12. This is what the preacher says. He says, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. What is he saying? That a lightning bolt doesn't fall from heaven and strike you for opening up your mouth when you're not behaving. Isn't it right? And because that is not happening, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Now you've gotten away with something, and you keep on doing something, and you become repetitive, and you begin to get bold and brazen. And you think because of that, though a sinner do evil, how many times? 100 times. His days be prolonged. You know, we have sinners that live long lives, just like you would expect for Christians to live long lives. And sometimes a good person gets cut off quick and a wicked person lives a long time. But it doesn't make any difference because they're both going to have to end up at the judgment. And so he says, though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it will be well with them that do what? Fear God, which fear before him. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Do what? Fear God and keep his commandments. You have heard the message on repentance this morning. Those of you who are not members of the Lord's body, the gospel of repentance is open for you today. You come to Christ by hearing his word, believing it. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10 and 17. Then you must repent. Repent means to turn from your sins. Jesus says, I tell you nay, except you repent, what's going to happen? You will perish, that is, die in your sins. Then you must be willing to confess Christ
as the Son of God, for with the heart man believeth, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Then you must be baptized, put on Christ in baptism. Galatians 2.